goodbye to go inside, cleansed by Calvary from every spot. So if you ever want to be on the right side of Calvary, you must go through the blood of the Lamb. And when you go through that crimson flow, it will wash you white as snow. You'll be on the right side of the great I Am. And when you go through that crimson flow, it will wash you white as snow. You'll be on the right side of the great
Hope you're on the right side this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Been through the crimson flow. Has the blood been applied to your heart and to your life? If it hasn't been, today be a great day for it. I believe I feel the presence of the Lord here this morning. And you pray for the choir as we sing, I Lean on You, Lord. When the sun was shining bright, I've been in the valley when the clouds were black as night. I've been betrayed by Jesus, my friend who wasn't true. But in the good times or the bad times, Lord, I've learned to lean on You. Supply my every need, I lean on You. I've heard the battle raging, then I prayed till victory came. There have been times I really thought, Lord, You don't even know my name. But I've been blessed, and I've been down to where I didn't know what to do. But in the times of joy and sorrow, Lord, I've learned to lean on You. I lean on You, Lord. I lean on You, Lord. For the things that I need, I lean on You. When I don't know just what to do, I've got faith to go. To supply my every need, I lean on You.
Welcome, everyone, to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs. So good to see you. Are you glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, it's the Lord's Day. It's time to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I've been looking forward to this service ever since last Sunday. And, of course, we have our biggest crowd on Sunday mornings. And so always looking forward to Sunday mornings as well as Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And so we're just so thankful that you're here this morning. And I just want to thank our guests for being with us this morning. If you're visiting with us here at Calvary this morning, thank you for coming. You are our honored guest. And again, we are just so thankful to be here this morning. For those who have walked down the hallway, you've noticed that it looks a little different. And so we've got some improvements taking place around here, and we're excited about that. And so if the smell is a little too heavy for you from the paint and all of that kind of stuff, just forgive us for that. We're doing our best to make sure that it doesn't bother anybody, but we are thankful that we're able to make steps of progression moving forward. And I want to dive right into some prayer requests and updates and announcements this morning. Miss Dorothy Holcomb had her funeral service this past Friday, so please remember the family during this time. Miss Tracy Reese, Nancy, and the rest of them, just remember them when you pray. Miss Connie Norton had her surgery on Wednesday. She's back home, and continue to remember her and her recovery process when you pray. Brother Chuck, he actually goes in the morning for a procedure and heart catheterization and stents. And so let's remember Brother Chuck. And at the conclusion of the service, I want to have a special prayer for Brother Chuck, and something that we like doing for our members and anyone else who needs prayer that is in the service at the time and you are having a procedure or surgery, while we just like to gather around you and have a word of prayer. So we'll be doing that at the conclusion of the service. And then also, Brother Jeff Hodges has a surgery coming up on the 17th, and kidney surgery, removing a mass from his kidney. And we praise the Lord that mass is benign, and so but yet he needs it gone, and so they're going to remove that, and so be much in prayer for him. And then Hassan has a procedure taking place and here this month, and so remember Brother Hassan in your prayers as he has his procedure done as well. This has been the month of surgeries and procedures, it seems like, the month of November. And hey, get it in before January, you know, and before everything starts over with insurance. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about, those who have insurance, and there's times and schedules and such. But anyway, just remember all of these folks in your prayers. Of course, continue to pray for Israel. Pray for our country as well, the leadership, our borders, and soldiers, military, all of our first responders in every facet. Just remember all of our men and women, if you would. And I want to mention a couple of things concerning upcoming events. This is a call for tree help, tree lot help. I want to send out right now, tree lot help, tree lot help. Those that are members here and that are acquainted with Decembers at Calvary know that we have a tree lot at the Calvary Children's Home. Bukus of trees that come in. And of course, Brother Brian has them rolling in. But we need help unloading those, setting them up, the whole workshop that's there. If you've never participated in that, it's really an awesome thing to witness and be part of. And so Tuesday, I believe it is, Tuesday evening, all teenagers it would be greatly appreciated if all teenagers will come on over and help do that. But also not just teenagers, but adults and everyone else who has the time and availability in your schedule to come and just witness this great time that takes place in December, there at the November and December, there at the tree lot. And do I have that announcement right, Brother Brian?
Yes,
okay, all right. I was thinking about something else and then reading this, and it don't take much on Sundays sometimes. But thank you for that. Just remember this announcement. Also, Brother Don Rich will be preaching tonight in the service. They're going back to Peru tomorrow. And they come fast, they leave fast. That's just how it is. It just seems that way. They've been here for a little while, but it's so good to to have them one last time before they head back. Looking forward to the message tonight. And another song I believe they'll be singing this evening. Remember, on the 19th, we'll be having our Thanksgiving dinner in the Fellowship Hall. And we've got a sign-up sheet to my right, to your left. If you would and you want to bring something, that'll be great. Just make sure you put it on a piece of paper over here, our sign-up sheet. I know we're in November, but I just want to hit briefly a couple things for December so you can have it on your radar. We won't get into a lot of particulars right now, but I do want to say that in December, we will have our Christmas communion. We will have our Christmas Eve service, which is on the 24th Sunday, but also New Year's Eve service, which is on the 31st on a Sunday. And so I want you to remember that. Both services, there will be no p.m. service, and the following Wednesday of each service, there will be no midweek service. But I'll mention that closer we get. Just wanted you to have it on your radar. We also will have a Youth Sunday on the 20th, and I like for this to be actually a Youth Sunday slash adult service, because I know the choir has some songs that we would like to sing for this occasion as well. But we'll work out the particulars. We'll get all that together. Just want you to know what's going on here around the holidays. Busy, busy time here at Calvary Baptist Church, but we're so thankful. All right, I'm going to ask you again, are you glad you came this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, well, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer and see what He has for us this morning. Father, we love You today. We thank You, Lord, for all things, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's hard to thank You for the ugly and bad things, but we know that everything works together for good, Lord, in Your economy. And so, Father, today we unplug our minds. We dismiss every hindrance, every negative thought, God, that may cramp us during this time of worship. Father, we have come together to sing songs of praise, God, to lift You up. We've come with a message to preach. And Father, the enemy would love to steal this hour from us. We may be here in body, but mentally, God, we may be far away. Help us be here not only in body, but be here in mind this morning. I pray that You'd move in a great and mighty way. Father, we thank You for these whom You've touched, who've had procedures and surgeries. We do pray for Brother Chuck. You will be with him. We will have a special time a little bit later of prayer specifically, but do be with him and Miss Cece and family. And also, God, the Holcomb family, the Reese family, the passing of Miss Dorothy. Father, be with us this morning again in a mighty way from start to finish, and we'll praise You and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. It is so good again to see you in the house of the Lord, and we thank You for being here. And I'd like to ask you to stand this morning, choir, stand. And could we sing the chorus that says, "There's something about that name"? We sing it again this morning. Just worship the Lord together.
Jesus, oh.
but there's something about that name. Yes, there's something about that name.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. There is something about the name of Jesus. Amen. So thankful to be in his house this morning. We're here to worship him in spirit and in truth, and we're so thankful for that. Again, if you're visiting with us, you are a special guest. We thank you for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. We were able to get some singers all the way from Peru to be here with us this morning. That's pretty amazing. And they're going to be singing again for us tonight. We look forward to that. And Brother Don bringing the message. Choir, meet me here today at 4 for practice. Christmas is right around the corner. We need your prayers as we try and get ourselves prepared for a great time, this celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be much in prayer for the choir, as well as the young folks who will be having a part in the service as well. We look forward to a great time. Amen?
Amen.
So let's go to him in a word of prayer. Ask him to be with us this morning. Pray for pastors. He brings the message. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I just need the Lord just to kind of steal me. There's so much going on in this world and so much that we have to try and get done that it seems to be when it's time to go to the house of the Lord, the enemy attacks and he just puts so much pressure sometimes on us to try and get everything done and orchestrated. But I believe this morning that if we'll just allow him to calm our spirits, settle us down for just a few moments and let him speak to us this morning. Amen. Father, we love you. Praise you. And how we thank you for the opportunity we have. Lord, we thank you for the sweet name of Jesus. Lord, it brings joy to our very soul. Lord, thank you for being willing to send your Son, your only Son, to die for all of our sins. And Lord, we thank you for salvation that is full and that is free. God, I pray if there's someone here today that's never accepted you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that you touch their hearts, convict them, draw them to Calvary this morning, that they too can come under that crimson flow. God, I pray that you would just be in the service today. And I bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Thank you again, Lord, for what you've done, for what you'll do here today. We'll praise you. We'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the ladies ensemble comes around to sing for us this morning, I just want to make mention that the beautiful peace lily was given this morning from Miss Nancy McClure in honor of her mother's home going this week. We had an opportunity to celebrate her life on Friday, and I'm thankful for having a part in the service. Thank you, Pastor and Brother Jeff, for coming to the service on Friday as well. And I'm sure probably others came for the visitation. But she wanted to make sure that that beautiful peace lily made it to the church. And Lee Ellen, thank you for your help in that this week. And so please just pray for the family. They need some encouraging. And you know what it's like to lose a loved one, especially to lose your mother. But what a beautiful peace lily. Be something to remember her by for some time, I'm sure.
Tells the sun to rise every morning, colors the sky with the shades of his glory, fills us with mercy and love, Jesus does. Who holds the orphan, comforts the widow, cries for injustice, fills every sorrow, carries the pain of his children, Jesus does. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son, praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was lost, he saved me from who I was, 'cause that's what Jesus does. Understands the heart of a sinner, showers his grace over all our mistakes, washes us clean with his blood, Jesus does. Who sings a song of sweet forgiveness, who stole the keys to hell and the grave, who has the save, Jesus does. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son, praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was lost, he saved me from who I was, 'cause that's what Jesus does.
This video, church. It will
bring the message.
Well, it was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer failed. It was hardly worth his while to waste much time on this old violin, but he held it up with a smile. Now it sure ain't much, but it's all we got left. I guess we ought to sell it too. Now who'll start the bid on this old violin? Just one more and we'll be through. Then he cried, one, give me $1. We'll make it two, only $2. We'll make it three, $3 twice. Now that's a good price, but who'll start the bid for me? Raise up your hands and don't wait any longer, cause this auction is about to end. Now who's got four, just $1 more, to bid on this old violin? Well, now the air was hot and the people stood around as the sun was setting low. Then from the back of the crowd, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bowl. He then wiped the dust from the old violin and he tightened up the string. And then he played out a melody pure and sweet, sweeter than the angels sing. But then the music stopped, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, now who'll start the bid on this old violin? And he held it up with a bow. But who'll stop the bid for me? Well, the people called out, what made the change? We don't understand. Then the auctioneer stopped and he said with a smile, it was the touch of the master's hand. You know there's many a man with his life out of tune, battered and scarred by sin, and he's auctioned cheap to a thankless world, much like that old violin. Whoa, but then the master comes, and that old foolish crowd, they never understand the worth of a soul and the change that's brought just by one touch of the master's hand. Yes, he cried, one, give me 1,000. We'll make it two, only 2,000. We'll make it three, 3,000 twice. Now that's a good price, but who'll stop the bid for me? Well, the people called out, what made the change? We don't understand. And he said with a smile, it was the touch of the master's hand.
Mark chapter number 5 this morning, if you would. Mark chapter number 5. The touch of the Master's hand. That's what I want to preach on this morning for a few moments. The touch of the Master's hand. We all are a picture of that old violin. We're all born this morning broken. We then become battered and scarred through the hardships of life. We then live a life out of tune, incapable and unable to live up to our full potential. Men then frown upon us, render us hopeless and useless. We are cast aside, trashed, and prepared to be dumped by the devil and forever forgotten by the human race. We are labeled useless, worthless, has-beens, and never will be good for anything, and no use for anyone. But then the Master comes and extends His hand. He says, "If you grab my hand, I will lift you up, restore you, tune you, fix you, help you, give you hope, a future, and a purpose." My friend, this morning, that's what Jesus did, and that's what Jesus does. When He came to earth and He died upon a cross, He was buried and He was raised again on the third day. He extended His hand from heaven through the Son, that if you and I would say yes to Jesus and His redemptive plan, He would give us a future in heaven, hope on earth, a purpose to chase, a life to live, freedom to experience, a blessing to be, a help to others, and a life fulfilled. This is the touch of the Master's hand. Again, this morning, I want to preach on that subject, the touch of the master's hand. And I want to talk about three touches that He can give. Three touches that Jesus, the Master, can give. And I hope if you haven't been touched in one of these three areas, that you'll desire to be touched. First of all, there's the touch of salvation. You don't have to turn there, but in Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 10, Jesus says, and the Scriptures declare, that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. This morning, Jesus came to rescue the person who has zero assurance of heaven when they die. The person whose boat this morning is sinking and feeling fast with trouble. He wants to get in your boat. He wants to steer your ship this morning. Sail in new directions. He wants to fill your net full of fish. Jesus wants to fellowship, converse, and give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. This morning, Jesus gives the touch of salvation. He has come to seek and save that which was lost, but Jesus also has come to seek and save those who are in darkness. There's no light in your life. It's all dark and drear this morning. Sadness and regret are your meat daily. Is this you this morning? Are you walking in darkness? Is your world dark? Is this you this morning who's in a boat that's sinking for the last time? Jesus has come to save. Not just save you out of your circumstances and situations, but to save your soul, take you to heaven when you die, but yet give you a purpose here on earth. And so Jesus came to seek and save those that are lost. Jesus came to seek and save those who are in darkness. Now we're in the book of Mark, chapter number 5. And what we have here in Mark chapter number 5, we have a demonic maniac. This man was messed up. He was demon possessed. Now, if you have Jesus in your heart this morning, you cannot be possessed, but you can be oppressed from the outside in. Why is that? Because the Bible says, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. And so we have a demonic maniac man from a place called Gadara, and he's living in the town cemetery. Now, I've seen many homeless people living in our area. In fact, we had one behind the church not too long ago. I almost burnt the church down on a Wednesday night. But thank God we have a security team that took care of that. Amen. But I've never seen a homeless person living in a cemetery. The cemetery is just a place where you do not go to sleep and hang out. I can understand going to visit the grave of a loved one who's went on to be with the Lord. I can understand that. But not a place to live. Not a place to abide. This man was a maniac man. He was a demonic maniac man, and he lived in the town cemetery. He spent his days in darkness, not only physically, but spiritually and emotionally. He was spending his days there. He was crying and cutting himself with stones. He wasn't even clothed. So he was in this cemetery and crying and cutting himself with stones. I guess the cutting of the flesh with the stones has to do with wanting relief of emotional pain. I've met people from time to time who have talked about cutting themselves. I've talked to people from time to time who said they just want to take their own life. And the reason for that is they have deep emotional pain and they're dealing with their emotional pain the best way they can, which is the wrong way, and that is harming yourself. Listen to me this morning. If you're thinking about hurting yourself, do not hurt yourself. If you're thinking about killing yourself, do not take your own life. It is not your life to take. It is God's life. He gave the life, and He'll take the life if He wants to. Do not harm yourself. Do not hurt yourself. No matter how dark it gets, how drear it may get, we have someone by the name of Jesus, the Master, and He will touch you, and He will help you through your dilemmas. But we have this man here, and he's an emotional mess. He is possessed. The Bible says in verse number 3, look if you would with me, Mark 5, verse number 3, that man tried to help him, but could not. The Bible says, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. He was a dangerous man. He was a threat to society. And these men tried to chain him to protect himself and to protect others. But the Bible says that he, in the next verse, that he broke those chains and fetters. No man could tame this man. No man could help this man. He was out of control. No man could change this man. Eventually, man gave up on this man. The community gave up on him. He was a castaway and was just supposed to fade off the scene and die. This is the situation of this man. Can I say in the day and times that we lived, ever since the human race began, that there's always been those people that nobody wants to deal with. There's always been the castaway. There's always been the mess ups. There's always been those who broke hearts and things like that. And no one wants to deal with them. And society has given up on them. But I want to tell you something this morning. Jesus did not give up on this man. The Master came and he touched this man. And the man that was once demon-possessed and had this unclean spirit, it was cast out. This man's life changed. Thank God for the touch of the Master's hand. Much like that old violin that was worthless and useless. It was out of tune. The strings were loose and it was battered and beaten. But the old man in the back said, "Hey, I'll buy that old violin." And he took that violin and he tightened the strings and he tuned it with a skilled hand. And he began to play. He polished it and shined it and went back up for auction. Now this violin is so expensive. Why? Because of the touch of the Master's hand. You and I were that old violin. Listen, there are so many old violins in this world that are being trashed and upon a trash heap, and the community has given up on them and said there's no use, they'll never change. You're looking at someone this morning that the community gave up on. You're looking at someone this morning that I gave up on. You're looking at a castaway. You're looking at a broken piece of pottery. You're looking at someone who people thought, "Oh, Justin will never amount to nothing, and he'll never do anything with his life." In fact, one time, Christy knows this story. She's in the nursery. An old girlfriend, before I met Christy, said, "Justin, you're a nobody. You'll always be a lowlife nobody, high school dropout." I used to work for the funeral home, Eberhardt's in Dallas, right by Benson. One day when I was working, I got a phone call. And it was to go pick this man up who passed away in the area. And so me and Lindsay Eberhardt, the daughter who was also there at Benson, we went to pick him up. The driveway was packed with people. The street, the cars lined up on the streets. We went in that house. I'm talking about it was packed with people. We went into the bedroom, and there lay someone's father who died with a massive heart attack in his 50s, laying there. I don't know about you, but that's a morbid experience. It takes a special person to do that kind of work. That's why I'm not doing it no more. We loaded him up, and a girl came toward me, and she said, "Thank you for taking care of my father." I looked up, and it was that old girlfriend of mine. Said, "I'll never be nothing." Who said I would always be a loser and I would never be a help to anyone. And now I'm sitting here picking up her daddy that died. Listen, I'm not pinning roses on me. There's no roses need to be pinned on me. I hadn't done nothing. Jesus has done everything in my life. If there's any glory, any praise, it is rendered to God for the touch of His hand on my life. And God wants to touch this morning. God wants to transform someone's life. If there's someone here, someone watching on Facebook that does not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, if you die today, there is no assurance you'll go to heaven. Listen, Jesus wants to save you today. He wants to give you that assurance that when you breathe your last, heaven will be your home. And so back to this demonic maniac of Gadara. Everyone gave up on him. Back up in verse 1 and 2 and then verse 8, listen to what happens. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. When he was come out of the ship, who was the writer talking about? Talking about Jesus. You go back and read the story. Jesus says, let us pass over to the other side. The disciples were in the midst of a storm obeying their Lord, but they went and they had to go through a storm, but they made it to the other side. Jesus had a purpose to get them through the storm because something was going to take place on the other side. You're in a storm this morning. You're fretting and worrying, filled with anxiety and fear like we all do from time to time. Listen, Jesus has a purpose for your storm. There's something on the other side of the storm. But Jesus got out of that ship. And there met him a man. A maniac man. A demon-possessed man. And I could just see in my mind's eye, and he stopped right there. Jesus, the Savior of the world. Hey, it's okay to laugh in church. Don't y'all look at me that way. Y'all can sit there solo if you want to. I want to have fun. I got a baseball bat, a glove, and a baseball to go. So y'all better get ready. He came face to face with deity. He came face to face with the Son of God. He came face to face with the one who said in the beginning, let there be light. What happens when you meet Jesus face to face? He will turn the light on. He will change your world. Verse number 8, the Bible says, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And guess what happened? He came out of the man. And that unclean spirit went into a herd of pigs and ran violently down and drowned in the water. This guy, this maniac, was touched by the Messiah. The reason why we have church is so everyone can be touched by the Messiah. We're not a charismatic church of God. We don't believe in speaking in tongues. And listen, there are no miracle workers but Jesus. But I do believe in having church. I do believe in preaching a message with intention. I do believe singing songs that give God praise and honor. Listen, I do believe in raising a hand and shouting. I do believe coming to an altar, getting right with God, leaving your tears on the carpet. That's what I believe in, and that's what we need to be doing. Let God touch your soul this morning. Don't stand there like a wooden Indian, thinking about where you're going to go eat. Listen. Right now when I'm preaching, if you're thinking about where you're going to go eat, you're not right with God. Huh? Something ain't right in your spiritual thinking. This is the highlight day of the Christian. Today. I need a touch from the Master's hand this morning. I don't know about you, but he touches those who are in darkness. He touches those who are lost. Jesus came to where he was. I remember before I got saved, normal for me, before I got saved was drugs, alcohol, spending days at motels with people I don't even know, going to nightclubs, storming in parties and fighting everybody there. That was me. I don't glory in that. I don't gloat in that. Listen, it was nothing for us to get together and go to the pool hall, and if anybody looked at us the wrong way, we'd be sending them to the hospital. I know you can't see that, and I'm thankful to God you can't see that. I'll tell you what, Jesus touched me. He changed my life. That was the Justin BC. This is the Justin now that I'm saved, trying to serve the Lord, trying to be a blessing. He touched me. He came to me. He came to this man. He'll come to you this morning, regardless of your past. You say, Brother Justin, I don't have a past like that. I've always been in church, Brother Justin, and you know, I don't have nothing to share like that. Let me tell you something. Wow, what a testimony you have if you were able to escape that garbage and stay in church, get saved, be raised by a godly family and stay in church. And the old pastor used to have a song called, I Missed Out. I missed out on the heartache of living in sin. Thank God you got a testimony. You went to church your whole life and gave your life to Jesus. Thank God for that, because there are things that I'm still paying for now that I sowed back then. Physical damage to my physical body. Mental images I cannot erase. The devil gets on my shoulder and says, "Oh boy, you'll be back, you'll be back. Oh boy, you're standing up there. You're getting ready to preach this morning. What about what you did back there?" And you say, "All you got to do is tell him to go back to hell." Well, yeah. All you got to do is tell the devil you're saved now. Well, yeah. But I want to tell you, the intense heat of that battle is real, my friend. Is real. Verse number 15. He was at ease. He was clothed and renewed in his mind. Verse 15. They come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. I'm just going to give it to you because it's on my mind and it's right here. Saved people put clothes on. Saved people cover up their nakedness. This man was clothed. But not only was he clothed, but he was sitting and he was in his right mind. He was at ease. The Lord had given him a touch of contentment. The touch of the Master's hand will touch a person and he will be their contentment. Don't have to go out drugging anymore. Don't have to go out drinking anymore. Hey, listen, I could be sitting at home on a Monday evening spending quality time with my family watching the ball game and be as happy as a rich man. A touch from the Master's hand will do that. He touched him. He has contentment now. He's in his right mind. The Lord will touch a person's mind. Now, we can't forget, as I said a moment ago, everything that we used to do and everything we've done, every blunder, every fumble, every bad choice. Even as being a Christian, we still make bad choices to do things. We can't forget those things. Therefore, we have to rely upon the blood of Jesus. His righteousness is applied to our life. I don't have to worry about going to hell every time I sin, even as a believer, because I know when I stand before God one day, he ain't going to see Justin and his unrighteousness. He's going to see his son's righteousness. And so I have to remember, even when I fail and fall short now as a believer, I'm not worried about losing my salvation. I'm worried about maintaining communion with him daily. I won't lose my position as a child of God ever, but I can lose my communion with him. There are times in life where we feel like the Lord is far away, and we may be doing everything right as Christians. Well, if you're doing everything possibly right as a Christian and the Lord is far away, it's just providentially, it's a time of testing. But I like to know that I've done everything right possibly whenever I feel like the Lord may be far away, knowing I had nothing to do with him being far away. There's times when we do stuff. We don't confess. We don't repent. We don't dive into the scriptures and attend church regularly to maintain that good fellowship. We don't do that. And then we figure, the Lord is far away. Why is he far away? It's all about that fellowship after that relationship has been established. And so God, he gives contentment at salvation. He gives clarity of mind. He renews the mind at salvation. You will long for the things of God. You will long to be with him. You will long to be around God's people. Verse number 18 says this, that this ex-demonic maniac now wanted to walk with Jesus. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with Him. When the Master touches you, you want to touch Him. When Jesus saves you, you want to walk with Him. Peter talks about as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. A baby that is born and birthed physically into this world got to have that nourishment. They need that nourishment. They want that nourishment. They desire that nourishment. Being a spiritual baby, someone who has accepted Jesus in their heart, will have these spiritual desires. You'll want to hear that word. Even if you don't understand it, when I first got saved going on 21 years ago, I'd open this book. I'd read it at work. I'm like, what in the world does this thing say? I mean, I'd read it, not understand it. Keep reading. Don't understand it. There were moments where I understood it. Now I know it was the Holy Spirit illuminating it to me that made it possible for me to understand. And He'll help us understand His Word. But I remember when I first got saved, I knew I wanted His Word. But I couldn't understand His Word. So I read one of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Because I'll tell you what, if I didn't understand anything in this book, I understood what this verse says, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I understood that. And what else does the Bible say? Just wanting more and more. And here I am, 21 years later, still trying to understand God's Word. Which means it requires study. Listen, this book is a living book. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And listen, God is speaking through His Word. You're here this morning. You need a word. Yeah, come hear the preaching. But when you get home, dive in. Doesn't matter if you don't understand or not. If you're saved, He will enlighten the Scriptures to you, illuminate them to you, and you'll be able to understand what He's saying little by little as He feels you need what you need for the moment. I've got too much to cover this morning. But you know what? I'm not going to rush because I really have to say something. He walked with God. In fact, he wanted to go with Jesus on the ship. Lord, I've never been on a ship with anybody like You. I want to go on the ship. I'm right now. I've been renewed. I'm fixed. Jesus says, I want you to go home and tell your friends the great things I've done for you. And you know that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Those whom God has saved, reconciled to God through Jesus, we now have that same ministry of reconciliation. The first people you should reach is your family when you get saved. Friends, touch those lives that are around you. Give them your testimony. Just let your light shine. There's some people you just can't witness to. Am I right? And you can sense it when you can't. So what do? Well, you let your light shine by the way you live. Let your life show the gospel. And at the right opportunities, let the gospel come out of your lips. And so we see that here. The ex-demonic maniac now wanted to walk with Jesus. He went from demonic maniac to divine messenger. I said that to say this morning. There's the touch of salvation. He will change your life. Let me mention something else. Not only that, there's the touch of salvation, but there's the touch of service as well. Listen to this. For those who have experienced the first touch, salvation, you will soon discover you need a second touch. I'm not talking about a second work of grace. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, in addition to how God changed your life, needing another touch to help you get through life. For those who have experienced the touch of salvation will soon discover they need a second touch. This touch is different from the first touch. The first touch gets you to heaven, but the second touch, in additional touches, gets you through earth. I said not long ago, I'll say it again, it has nothing really to do with this point other than it's on my mind, but Phil Robertson with Duck Dynasty, he said, and he has the movie's out called The Blind, which I recommend. He said, the first birth gets you in the world. The second birth gets you off the earth. The first birth gets you on earth. The second birth gets you off the earth. But certainly this morning there is the touch of service. This touch is for the sufferer, the struggling, the ones who want to please God but discover there's resistance. Anybody here experience a little resistance in your spiritual life, in your journey? A little resistance? I want to give you three areas of resistance that we can experience in our life. The first area of resistance is the flesh. Jesus saves the soul, he saves the heart, but he doesn't save the mind. There's a part of us that lingers on from the past. There are evil inclinations and evil desires that are still there because we're still on earth. And only one day when we land in heaven, we will leave behind those evil desires and flesh. But we'll discover, and you've already discovered, I have too, that there is just this resistance of the flesh. Turn to Romans 7, please, for a moment. If you don't mind, I'm shedding this coat. Romans 7. Paul certainly understood the struggle. He had a battle going on in his life. In verse number 15 of Romans 7, I guess I better turn there myself. He says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Amen. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Paul says, I'm struggling. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, and that's the truth. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Listen to this, verse 24. Paul screams out, and I'm not going to scream out in your ears this morning, but Paul screams out, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The word wretched means miserable. Oh, miserable man that I am, wanting to do good, but I always do bad. It's just miserable. Anybody ever feel that way? Wanting to please the Lord, wanting to do right. At the end of the day, you find out, hey, you've done more wrong than good. And sometimes you won some, sometimes you miss some. And it just, you keep doing wrong, and you don't want to do wrong. You want to do right. On the inside, we cry out, oh, wretched man that I am, miserable man. How am I going to fulfill God's law? How am I going to live for Him like I want to? I remember when I first got saved, trying to live for Jesus. I had a very, very low point when I first got saved. I actually knelt down when we lived in a parsonage next to Floyd Road, had a couch in our couch in our living room. I was so disgusted of not pleasing God. I mean, listen, I went to church every Sunday. I worked there. I cut the grass. I did the plumbing, did everything. But I just wasn't pleasing God like I wanted to in here. I wasn't out robbing banks. I wasn't out drinking and drugging. I wasn't out doing those things. What I experienced in the new birth really changed me, and I wanted to be different fast. I didn't want it to take 21 years to be a little different. I wanted to be different fast. And God did change my life fast, but the maturity took so long and still taking so long. I bowed at that couch. I said, Lord, if I was you, I'd kill me. Take me home. Now, do you think that shocked the Lord that I said that? No. In fact, if I can picture the Lord, Brother Al, when I was down there saying, Lord, kill me, take me home, I'm no good, nobody. Son, really? I knew you was going to do that before I saved you, and I saved you anyway. And I could see him now, my mind's eye, as I have a daughter and I deal with her as father and daughter, child. I could picture Jesus saying, son, Justin, get up. Come on, get up. Dust yourself off. Now, son, I knew you was going to do that before you did it, and I saved you anyway. In the path I have you on now, that assurance you feel, that desire to want to read my word, and you know you're going to heaven, you didn't do that. I did that for you. I did that. So why are you so sad? Get up and go again. Get up and go, son. Why are you so sad? Well, Jesus, I just have a desire to serve you, and I don't want to fail you. Son, I understand that. But this is all part of the growing process, son. It takes time. And so I remember praying that day. Here I am, right at 21 years later. Jesus still hadn't killed me and take me home, Brother Ceylon. Why is that? Because he knows I got to have time to grow up. And thank God he gives us time to grow up. Thank God for the touches of God during those times. And listen, like Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. How can I just keep going on and wanting to please the Lord, but always praise the Lord, but always fail and fail and fail? Listen, church, it's about recognizing your position. If you're saved and you're born again, belong to Jesus, you are and always will be a child of God. You may not always succeed in living for God, but as the Bible says in the Old Testament, a just man, a righteous man falleth seven times and riseth up again. We can get up again and walk in the assurance of our salvation, going and longing to please Jesus one more time. Will there be conviction there? Yes. But it's there to keep you on track. Notice something else in verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, miserable man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He stops his thought here, and he has a question mark. Notice the body of this death. He's talking about the body of evil that he has, the corrupt nature that he still possesses, although being a Christian. He's talking about the things in this body that lead to death. In fact, one writer said the language here, the body of this death, gives reference to a punishment in ancient days. If you broke the law in these ancient days, Bible days, they would handcuff you, they would strap you to a dead corpse. You would have to drag around. You go to sit down and rest, the dead body's still there. You try to get up and go somewhere, you got to drag them around. This body is dead. This body stinks. This body is a problem. And when Paul is talking about in his frustration wanting to serve God, but yet failing as well at the same time in his anguish and aggravation wanting to serve God, he says, Lord, I'm dragging around a dead body. It stinks. It hurts taking this body, dragging this body around. Everywhere I go, it's there. Church, this morning, if you're saved, you are still dragging around a dead, rotten corpse that can blow everything. Yes, you can still sin. Yes, you can still blow your testimony. That's why it's so important to stay in tune and in touch with God. You don't see him, but I have a dead body strapped to my back this morning. Trying to get up. The old man of Justin says, get myself in my prayer time. Come on, Justin. Come on. Oh, don't get it twisted. I couldn't wait to get in my prayer time. I couldn't wait to get up this morning. But there's something I'm dealing with. And I got a sneaky suspicion this morning that not only I deal with it, but each and every one of you deal with it as well. You're dragging around a corpse that wants to stop you every time. Verse 25, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul says, I'm in this dilemma, but I thank God for his touch. It's by Jesus I'm able to drag this corpse around. It's by Jesus I'm able to overcome this corpse. This corpse is not going to tell me how I'm going to live my life. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to just stop doing things because I got to drag it around. No, I'm going to keep doing things and going places and going to church. It's just I may get there a little slower and I may not do as good because I'm dragging an old rotten corpse around. Don't let your flesh stop you from serving Jesus. So he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Let me hurry along. There's the flesh that we're in resistance to. That's why we need a touch from God. But then there's the devil that we're in resistance to. That's why we need a touch from God. 1 Peter 5:8, don't turn there, I'll just give it to you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Can I say this morning? It's time that we face the lion. The Bible says he's a lion. You can't run from the lion. The lion of 1 Peter 5:8, he is trying to get at you. He's trying to deter you. He's trying to stop you. You can't run from the lion. You've got to face the lion. I think it's time this morning that some start facing some demons that they have in their own life. You can't run from addiction. You can't run from your marriage. You can't run from being a parent. You can't run from these things. The devil doesn't want you to succeed in these areas, but Jesus does. It's time to face the lion with a lion. The lion of the tribe of Judah. James 4:7, don't turn there. Before we face this line, we've got to make sure we submit to Christ. Submit yourself, therefore, to Christ. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Notice the very next verse here in 1 Peter. Well, I think I told you not to turn there, but I'll just give it to you. 1 Peter 5:9, whom resist? Steadfast in the faith. He's telling us we've got to face this lion. We've got to resist him in the faith, meaning submit ourselves to Jesus and stand in his power, and he'll flee from us when we resist him. He won't flee from us because he's scared of Justin, but he'll flee from Jesus because I have his identity in me and on me. And so there's the devil we resist up against. There's the flesh. There's the world. We're now living in a place where we don't belong. You and I are not just a square peg, but a rectangular peg and trying to fit into a miniature hole. We don't belong here. The old song says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm just passing through. You're just passing through. We ought to start doing this every day with our hands. Just passing through. Hey, Brother Allen, how you doing today? Brother Justin, what's going on? Just passing through. If y'all see me walk in some Sunday and I'm going like this, or Wednesday night, you know what kind of day I've had. I'm just trying to pass through, that's all. I'm trying to pass through this life like a kidney stone in the urethra. Hey, y'all pray for me. Listen, I don't share a lot of prayer requests, but I'll share this. I've had something going on back here in my backside, kind of lower, for about 2 weeks now, and it was almost a mess the other night. It's calmed down this morning. I don't know. Stay off of Google when you're trying to Google what's wrong with you. You know, I've got a kidney stone. I've got, you know, two or three diseases. I'm getting ready to die in a couple of days. So just passing through. This world is about taste, touch, feel, believe, last. God's system is believe, taste, touch, feel. The world says, do what you want, eat, drink, be merry, and die. God says, believe in me and allow me to touch you, and you can overcome your obstacles. John 16:33. And so there's the touch of service. The Lord will touch us and allow us to serve. All right, I'm finally here. Finally here. I won't be long, and we'll go. Finally here. I don't know why this bat in my hand and what I'm wearing, I feel like a mad principal. I don't know why. I just do. Yeah. All right. This is a Major League Baseball glove. See the emblem? It's also autographed by Kevin Pillar, our left fielder. There's the authentication, and I got the other paper with me, so it's the real thing. This glove is a picture of us, lifeless. But when Jesus enters into us, we can do anything that Jesus wants us to do. Lifeless without Him. Put Him in, we can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. We need the touch of the Master's hand for service. But not only that. I'm getting there. Don't worry. This bat right here in Justin Hale's hands, if I were to face a major league pitcher, I would hope to at least nick a ball or foul tip a ball. Not much value, this bat, in my hand. But you put it in Hank Aaron's hands. You put this bat in Acuna's hands. They stand up to the plate. Pow! Homer every time. This bat in my hand, nothing. This bat in Acuna's hand, Babe Ruth's hand, Hank Aaron's hand, oh, homer every time. Just a further illustration, we're kind of like this bat. And when we get in the hands of Jesus, we can do the impossible. One more thing. Let me just carry the bat too so I got the full. This ball, which is fake autographed all over it. If I try to strike out a major league ball player, I'll probably hit him in the head. Not on purpose, but an accident. So this ball in my hand is worthless. You put this ball in the hand of the Express, Nolan Ryan. Some of you know who Nolan Ryan is. You put this ball in the hand of Roger Clemens. Oh, strike him out every time. And I do believe to this current day, Nolan Ryan holds the records of most strikeouts in his life. The Express. We are a lot alike, this baseball. If we try to make something out of our life, we can't do it. We try to make something out of our life, we can't do it. all these things. But if we're this baseball, if we put ourselves in the hands of God, we can do the impossible. We need the touch of the Master's hand. The touch of His hand is what we need this morning. Let me mention something else if they want to come around for a song. There's the touch of salvation, the touch of service. Then there's the touch of the second coming. All God's people said, amen. Amen. It had been predicted for hundreds of years that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, prophesied, told, and He was. I got a big question for you in just a moment. It also had been predicted, prophesied, Jesus would die on the cross, be buried, and rise again. And He did. It has also been predicted and prophesied that Jesus would come again and get His people and bring them back to heaven. Here's my question. Do we think God is a 2 out of 3 God or a 3 out of 3 God? We serve a God who's a 3 out of 3 God. If it was predicted and He came and He was born, if it was predicted and He came and He died, buried, rose again, and it's been predicted that He's coming again, He's coming again. He is coming again. Jesus is a promise keeper, a miracle worker, and much more. He's the problem solver. He's the enabler. He's the one who touches the dead and they rise again. He's the one who touches the blinded eye and they see, the deaf. He's the promise keeper, miracle worker, and much more. And He will touch all of those who belong to Him and bring them home. One of these days, let me read a couple of verses and we'll be through. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, if we're not already dead, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Someone said, rapture is not in the Bible. Well, it's not. But caught up is. And caught up, that word in the Greek is harpazo. It means to harpoon. You know what a harpoon is? It's a gun that has an arrow with a string, a wire, a rope attached to it. You shoot it. It lands its target and pulls it back. Okay? One day we will be harpooned out of here, but with no pain. Over in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, I have to read these verses. Now we, in verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together. Paul is addressing the second coming of Jesus. In the first phase. That ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. So he's saying, don't be troubled, don't be shaken, don't be worried. Jesus hasn't come yet. Some things have got to fall in place first, or really fall out of place. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Who would agree that we are seeing a falling away? I know it's been preached and said for years, but 2023, almost 2024, multitudes could care less about God. Multitudes are away from the house of God today, eating and drinking and being merry because tomorrow they die. There is a falling away. And I'm talking about those who are saved. You can't fall away from something unless you belong to something. don't mean they'll lose their salvation. It just means there's this great apostasy going to take place. That's what's going to happen first. Then it says, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now ye know that, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Talking about something, someone withholding, holding back the Antichrist from being revealed. I know this is a whole new, different lesson, but listen. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Let me tell you what I think is going to happen. I think we're experiencing a falling away right now. But I do not believe that we're going to be here when the Antichrist is revealed, because the Holy Spirit is holding him back. And then one day when we are, step number two, the falling away, step number two, the rapture, when we are raptured out of here, the Holy Spirit is taken out because he's in us, then the Antichrist will be revealed. Now in verse 3 he says revealed. I like that in a Bible study way. Revealed, meaning he may already be here, alive. I go a step further, and not long ago we talked about Judas Iscariot. Jesus called him the son of perdition. You know another name for Antichrist? Son of perdition. Some people think that the Antichrist is going to be Judas Iscariot. I don't know. He may be, he may be, may not be. He may be here right now, waiting on his time for us to be raptured out of here. Then he'll be revealed. Then comes the tribulation. 7 years of absolute agony for those who do not know Christ. Only those who have never heard the gospel will get an opportunity to hear the gospel. And I believe that's where the 155,000 fall in place and they preach the gospel. It ain't had time to go into all that. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you. Thank you for the listening ear of the people. Lord, our heart is totally empty. And that's the place we wanted to get to before we quit this morning. I just pray that you'll move in a mighty way during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. If you need to come this morning and get a touch, you come.
I was shackled by a heavy burden beneath the
Lord. Anyone else?
Guilt and shame. But then the hand of Jesus touched me.
Who needs a touch this morning? Anybody be brave enough to come, not caring what anybody thinks?
For he touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul, for something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Amen.
Since I met this blessing,
would you come this morning?
And since he cleansed and made
me, we came for a purpose. You're going to heaven this morning. Do you know that you know?
And he touched me.
Oh, he touched me.
touch me and hold the joy that floods my soul. Something's happened, and now I know that He touched me.
Yes.
And made me whole.
Amen. Thank you for coming this morning. I hope you enjoyed the service. And just thank you for listening. I hope you received something from the Word. Choir practice 4 o'clock for choir members or anybody who would like to sing with the choir. Well, you've been a choir member before, come on back and be with us. And so choir practice at 4, and then, of course, evening service at 5. Brother Don Rich will be bringing the message tonight. And so be here for that. You will be blessed. And if you come, if you don't come, you'll miss a blessing, I guarantee you. And they'll be singing another song as well, along with whatever else we have on the agenda for tonight. All hearts clear before we go. All right. Well, thank you for being here.